Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in today for Larry Mueller. There was a time when having a baby at home with minimal medical intervention was the usual way to bring a new life into the world, but not so much anymore. Not only do the vast majority of births happen in a hospital today, nearly a third of them are cesarean sections. What options are available for families that want to return to maybe a less medicalized birth experience? Well, I'm happy to have two midwives here with us today to answer those questions and to share their insights. Debbie Healy is a certified nurse midwife in Madison, Wisconsin. She serves as president of the Wisconsin Guild of Midwives. Debbie, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Judith. Thanks for having us.
And Tamina Islam is a licensed midwife in Madison. She is secretary of the Wisconsin Guild of Midwives. Tamina, great to have you with us.
Thank you. Good morning.
So I think this is a great topic because, you know, there are a few things that have been less constant than the fact that babies are born, you know, through the centuries and millennia. But the way that that has happened really has changed a lot and differs a lot, I think, from culture to culture. And there's a lot that we can learn. So let's start with the basics. Debbie, what exactly does a midwife do?
Midwives take care of healthy, uncomplicated pregnancies, and depending on what type of midwife you're seeing, we have different scopes of practices that can include well woman and basic primary care. But generally, we focus on, like I said, healthy, uncomplicated pregnancies and the early postpartum period time.
And how does a midwife differ from, say, an obstetrician on one hand or maybe a doula on the other hand?
Great. So starting with doulas, doulas are specifically there for labor support. They don't typically have any medical training, although they might. Mm-hmm. It's not exactly their stated role in a birth. Midwives are very focused on healthy pregnancy, a pregnancy that's progressing very normally, doesn't have any complications. We anticipate that baby is growing very well, mama is healthy, and we anticipate also a normal, healthy course in labor and mm-hmm. postpartum. Whereas physicians are able to focus on the pregnancies and moms that are in need of a more intense level of care. Potentially they're managing a medical issue mm-hmm. that's also concurrent with the pregnancy, or also that might be something that is specific to the pregnancy that needs an additional level of care.
And Tamina, does a midwife sometimes work along with an OB doctor or say with a doula or other medical professionals?
I do think so. I think midwives really are part of the maternity care for any woman. They're part of the maternity care team. We often refer or transfer care to an obstetrician or a physician in the hospital if there are risk factors that arise or if there are complications arise. So we're definitely part of that that cohesive team.
And for both of you, what have your experiences been working with other medical professionals, say an obstetrician? Does there tend to be a mutual understanding and respect and appreciation for what each bring to the process?
I think that there's a lot of room for that. And particularly here in the United States, where midwifery care has fallen off the very mainstream. You know, mm-hmm. Midwives are attending about 10% of all births in the United States, which is rising, slowly rising, whereas that significantly differs from other countries where midwives are the primary care for all healthy mm-hmm. pregnancies. Certainly, I have been well received here in Madison mm-hmm. with the physicians. I think we have the opportunity to consult within a pregnancy and check in around something, get an opinion to decide with the couple if moving forward with midwifery care and potentially the setting of their birth is mm-hmm. the best choice. And anytime we've had to transfer care to an obstetrician, we have been well received. So I'm thankful for that opportunity here in Madison because I think that that adds to the safety mm-hmm. of for all mothers and babies.
Well, and especially it seems like if a mother or a couple have decided that they would like to have a midwife involved, and at some point in the pregnancy, it seems that there is a need for that more more medical focused mm-hmm. you know approach. If they've made the decision that they would really like to have a midwife involved, it would be unfortunate if it was an either or situation. It seems like for everyone, and both would be a lot better.
Absolutely.
Right. I think comprehensive care serves every woman
right
in the best way possible.
And, you know, you were talking about how in other countries, you know, midwives attend a much larger percentage of the births. You know, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, they say that nearly a third of births in the U.S. are cesareans or C-sections. That's one of the highest rates in the world. And a lot of people feel that's something to be concerned about, not just because of the risks to the mother. I mean, it is a major surgery. But also, as we're looking at, you know, more nationalized models of healthcare, the increased costs that are mm-hmm. obviously associated with a major surgery and all that that entails, how do midwives come into that situation? Debbie, is there a way that if midwifery was more accepted and more more often turned to, that perhaps some of those unnecessary cesareans could be reduced?
Absolutely. Certainly within the context of the midwives that are serving both hospital, birth center, and home, we have significantly lower rates of cesarean section as it is. And I think that part of that is approaching pregnancy as a very normal, healthy state for mm-hmm. a woman instead of viewing it as a disease process. So midwives have definitely been shown to reduce those cesarean section rates. And I know within my own practice and a majority of the other midwives here in the state, our cesarean section rates vary between about 3 to 5%.
Wow. So that's significantly less. Mm-hmm. And you just touched on this, Debbie, but Tamina, maybe you can talk about mm-hmm. where midwives practice, because, you know, there are obviously the home births, but that's not the only place that you might find a midwife and use her services.
Right. That's absolutely correct, Judith. So midwives really are care providers in all settings. There are certified nurse midwives who practice in the hospital, but also primarily in the hospital. But they also practice in freestanding birth centers. We have one in our own community in Dane County here at the Madison Birth Center. And then certified professional midwives practice in freestanding birth centers as well, but also in private homes and residences providing out-of-hospital care. And so they really run the spectrum of all the settings that are available. In Dane County, we have actually a website called www.madisonmidwives.com, and it lists all the different options that are available in this area. Then statewide, we're both part of the Wisconsin Guild of Midwives, and you're able to find a midwife that might be right for you through that website as well.
We're talking about midwifery and the role that midwives can play in a healthy and happy birth experience. We're talking with Debbie Healy and Tamina Islam. They are practicing midwives here in Wisconsin, and you can join the conversation by calling 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Have you used a midwife to attend your child's birth? How did you decide that that was the right choice for you, and what was your experience like? Or maybe you are a midwife yourself or are considering it as a career. What has drawn you to it? We'd love to hear from you. You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org, or you can post a question or comment on our Facebook page. That's The Larry Mehler Show, and Mehler is spelled M-E-I-L-L-E-R. Now, what kind of training does a midwife have? And I know that there are different kind of classifications. So, Debbie, maybe you can explain those
sure.
for us.
All midwives go through a didactic and clinical residency training. Certified nurse midwives also have typically start off their training as registered nurses and then continue on to a graduate level training for midwifery. Mm-hmm. They have a wider scope of practice, like I mentioned earlier, that can include well woman care, frequently are prescribing medications when necessary, and see women in that whole mm-hmm. childbearing cycle in addition to menopausal ages. Sorry. Exactly. Well, woman care. Certified professional midwives are also doing didactic and clinical residency training, and they obtain some of that with their senior midwives in their communities and are specialized in home birth care. So that is certainly a different skill set that's necessary. And here in Wisconsin, we have two pathways to become licensed. And so you can become certified as a nurse midwife or as a certified professional midwife. And then both have licensures that go along with that. So certified nurse midwife can be a CNM. And a certified professional midwife typically gets licensed as a licensed midwife here in
okay.
Wisconsin.
So it sounds like it is a pretty high level of training and experience that midwives have to have.
It is. I would say most midwives are going through anywhere between 3 to 6 years of education, and a large part of that being hands-on learning mm-hmm. with other members, more senior members of the community.
Which I think is interesting because I think that goes back to the more historical types of midwifery where it was really a skill and an art and a science that was passed from woman to woman before there were, you know, those opportunities to have, you know, classroom things and, you know, much more kind of formalized training. It was really something that was passed from woman to woman mm-hmm. in a community and a family.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And now the benefit that we have of having some more formalized training is, you know, the research that gets incorporated and is constantly being done, that affords midwives to have the constant access to that so that we are providing evidence-based care. Whereas sometimes maybe in a smaller community, you just may not have that exposure. So it does... you know, today's education certainly provides that opportunity.
Great. We do have some folks that would like to join the conversation, so let's go to the phones, and we have Annie in Waterloo first. Hi, Annie.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to comment that I had my first child in 2001, and he was born by C-section, and then my second child was born 5 years later, and my husband and I did a ton of research and actually ended up with a home birth with a midwife with my second child. And I think it's really about educating women and the importance of midwifery and trusting their own bodies in the normalcy of pregnancy.
Thanks for that, Annie. Debbie, is that something that you've come across that people have kind of a hesitation or a fear maybe about, say, a home birth that a midwife is able to kind of talk them through and help them feel a little more comfortable?
Yeah, I think that there's a midwife for everybody, and I think there's a setting that is appropriate for everybody. I don't believe that home birth is appropriate for everybody. I don't think it's the right choice for everybody. But a midwife can certainly help you figure that out and mm-hmm. figure out if it is a good fit or not. Research certainly supports that home birth is an appropriate setting for most pregnant women, although, like I said, it's not always the most... appropriate setting for everyone. However, mm-hmm. I think women feeling safe, as this mom has indicated, mm-hmm. is a really big piece of that. And so if birthing in the hospital with a midwife is the place to be, absolutely. And there's a midwife right. there to serve you.
Or as Tumina said, also freestanding birth centers. That to me feels like kind of a happy medium between the two.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That was a great comment, Annie. Thank you so much. And Annie brings up an interesting point there that her first child was a cesarean section. Her second child was with a midwife. So she kind of went from that, you know, more medicalized model kind of back to something that's a little more natural. And I know for a long time there was the thought or the feeling that if a woman had a cesarean section with the first birth, that a vaginal birth was not possible, but that's not true.
Research doesn't support that statement. And there's pendulums that swing, as with anything. We've just seen that in our Democratic and Republican races. And so there was a time when that statement was followed fairly strictly, but I think that that is swinging back now, largely due to what you mentioned earlier around cost and looking at what the evidence shows us.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it does seem like for some people it might feel a little scary to have a child at home because we've been so trained to worry about cleanliness and germs and things like that. Mm-hmm. I don't really know how to put this, but is the average home an appropriate setting for a birth?
I believe so.
Okay. I think it's not only an appropriate setting, but sometimes can be a safer setting for that woman. You know, her body and her baby are exposed to germs that they're used to in the home and not exposed to other infections and diseases that might be in the hospital.
Yeah,
to think about.
There have been a lot of issues with, mm-hmm. with bad diseases
or
bugs.
Superbugs. When there was the SARS outbreak in Canada.
Yes.
Well, outbreak everywhere, but Canada actually called on many of their home birth midwives and directed pregnant and birthing mothers back out to their home setting to avoid
exposure.
Wow. Exactly.
Interesting. We are talking with Debbie Healy and Tumina Islam. They are midwives practicing here in Wisconsin. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson sitting in for Larry Mueller. You can join the conversation by calling 800-642-1234 or sending us an email at talk@wpr.org. We are talking today about midwifery and how midwives can assist with a healthy and happy birth process. Debbie Healy and Tamina Islam are practicing midwives here in Wisconsin, and they are happy to answer your questions. Here are your comments. We'd love to have you share your experiences if you have used a midwife or have thought about it. And we do have several people on the line, so let's go back to the phones. Jody in Downing is next. Hi, Jody.
Hi. I'm just calling to – I had both of my kids – at home, one's 28, one's 24, and just thought it was wonderful. And I think a good thing to address with your talking today would be how often, if there is an issue in a birth, you have plenty of time to transport to the hospital. So I think that that's a thing that a lot of people don't understand, that midwives take every single, you know, possible precaution at home and are very responsible, and if there are issues that look they're dangerous, they don't hesitate to transport to the hospital. So if you could address that, that'd be
sure.
great.
Sure. That's a great comment. Thank you, Jody. And Tamina, did you want to address that?
Sure. I think that's a great question. You know, typically midwives in the community, in the state, and in locally as well transfer about between 10 to 15% of the time. Most of those transfers are non-emergent transfers, and if there are emergent transfers, we do access 911 services and paramedic services.
And when you say emergent, what does that mean exactly?
Emergent transfers for a resuscitation,
okay.
for example.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think transfers are very easily detected, and they're also very easily transferred into the hospital setting and into the hospital system. And so we are also staying vigilant about our care and really making sure that we're supporting normal pregnancies and normal labors at home and in birth centers.
And midwives in each community are working within their medical systems, which, as we mentioned earlier, some can be really easy and some can be a little bit more challenging. But here in Madison, particularly, we have worked out an excellent system where we make direct communication with the on-call obstetrician or certified nurse midwife in the case of Meritor Hospital. And we have an opportunity to have a direct conversation with that provider who's speaking with another provider. There's no details that can get left out in that way, and we can make it really clean and smooth transfer when necessary.
And one of the things I do want to talk about is on the website for the Guild, Wisconsin Guild of Midwives, there's a list of suggested questions when you're interviewing a midwife. And one of them is, what is the emergency plan? And I assume that this would be part of that emergency plan.
Absolutely. And each midwife in every community and each family is responsible to hold some of that if you're planning an out-of-hospital birth. Most of the state is now on the 911 system. Mm-hmm. There are some pockets that are not. And so what do we do in those instances if that's actually not available to us? And where is the closest hospital? What are the protocols in that hospital?
Mm-hmm.
And as you work longer in each community, you get to know those places a little
sure.
bit better.
And establish relationships.
Absolutely, which I think, again, increases the safety for mothers and babies making that decision.
One of the benefits also about midwifery care is that if there is a transfer into the hospital setting, we're able to provide continuity of care and
right.
stay alongside as an advocate and care provider for that client, which is really great.
Great. Thanks for that call. And let's go right to Jolene in Oshkosh next. Hi, Jolene.
Hi there. What an exciting topic. I actually live in Oshkosh, and Aurora in Oshkosh has a team of midwives, which was awesome because throughout the pregnancy, I got to meet each midwife, and then the day of my baby's birth, I was able to handle with whoever was on call that day. So it was, you didn't have to worry about your doctor not being there and having some stranger, you know, that kind of thing. But I actually was, you know, with the midwives referred to use hypnobirthing techniques through the labor and had just real peaceful births. And I think a lot of people are afraid of birth, and they're afraid of pain, and they see the television ER programs that make it look like a medical emergency. And it's a really a big shame that, you know, people don't understand that our bodies are meant to do what they do. And, you know, I just wish that more people would go towards midwives and that it would be a bigger push from the medical community to do more holistic care.
Thanks for that, Jolene. Debbie, did you want to comment on that?
I think that part of what allows women to have a safe and healthy birth is feeling connected with their care providers and care providers who actually know their clients really well. Instead of having to ask those questions upon admission or how, you know, in the middle of labor, you know your clients and you know what their desires are already. So that's very helpful. I want to make it really clear, though, that midwives in the various settings that they serve in, we do support women who are desiring pain control, because this is their birth. And I do, many women believe strongly that with the support of a midwife or a doula, and certainly research supports this, that you can, labors move faster, labors are experienced with less pain when you have support.
And Tamina, Jolene commented on something about hypno-something?
Hypno-birthing. Yeah. Right, you know, so often women will hire a doula to help them with psychosocial support and emotional support through the process of pregnancy and labor. Hypno-birthing is a technique that often, that often women can use to help them relax through the early stages of labor, mm-hmm. To help them just cope with pain and be able to relax as much as they can. So that's often a technique that doulas will help women use, or women can find resources in their communities about hypnobirthing.
Great. And thanks again for that call, Jolene. And since we just mentioned doulas, let's go to Alyssa in Madison next. Hi, Alyssa.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I just wanted to say, love the program. This is such a great topic. Our insurance, I'm sure a lot of people are in the same boat, our insurance covered fully a hospital birth, but I knew that I wanted to do kind of, not necessarily more natural, but I wanted to, you know, let labor start on its own. And I was very, very blessed to have a great doula because I had an extraordinarily long labor. It was about 36 hours. So without her there, I have zero doubt that I would have had a C-section. You know, I was getting pressure immediately to go to get induced. So I was so thankful to have her there as my support team, and we did the hypnobirthing, and just would strongly advocate for people who will have to have a hospital birth for financial reasons to consider a small investment to have a doula or a midwife along for the ride.
Great. Thank you for that, Alyssa. And actually, Debbie, that brings up a point that I wanted to cover. What is the status of insurance covering midwifery? Is it generally covered or generally not covered, or does it really depend on the different system?
Midwifery care is generally covered by insurances. The place of setting can sometimes depend or affect your coverage in that. And also, certified nurse midwives are typically covered in all 50 states, where certified professional midwives are gaining coverage state by state. And that some of that has to also do with the licensure as that is coming on board.
And so just to be sure I understood, part of what you said is that sometimes it might be covered if a midwife is attending the birth in a hospital, but not necessarily in a home birth.
Correct.
But on the other hand, I'm guessing that the home birth is much less expensive. So if it is out of pocket, it might not be nearly as much as, say, if someone had to pay out of pocket for a copay or even pay completely out of pocket for a hospital birth.
Absolutely. And we actually have a lot of people now who are seeking midwifery care and out of hospital care because of the cost issues. We have a lot of people who are either underinsured or not insured. And or maybe they have, you know, high deductible, exactly, and don't have maternity riders, or have had many women where they've tried to get maternity coverage, but were told that they had to actually pick up that maternity rider 9 months before they even were pregnant. So the insurance can be quite difficult. And so women seeking competent care in the home setting, they have that available with midwives.
And I think Alyssa brings up a good point that if it really feels like out-of-hospital birth is out of your reach in terms of economically, that a doula is a great option to look towards if you're facing or if you're having a hospital birth.
Great. We had a caller ask a question that I wanted to ask as well. Are there male midwives?
There are male midwives. We have a very small percentage of male midwives. Most of them are certified nurse midwives and typically Army trained.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. And Tammy emailed, I had my child when I was 38, and after several hours of labor, it was found that she was breech. I'm curious about what happens if something like this is discovered during a home birth. And we did touch on the fact that, you know, there is a there should be and really needs to be some method in place for getting a mom and a baby to the hospital. Mm-hmm. But can you talk a little bit more maybe in detail, Debbie, if you can cover this? You know, how are you monitoring the birth so that you know when there is a time that it's time to do a transfer?
Yeah, babies can certainly turn in labor, although it's not the most common mm-hmm. instance. And so particularly for this situation, you know, and a lot of getting ready for labor and monitoring a labor is actually prenatally. And those visits that we have with mothers increase as we get towards the end of pregnancy, because that's where we have the best ability to actually influence positive change. Mm-hmm. So if we detect an issue, we can get a mom into a higher level mm-hmm. of care and do that faster. So particularly for positioning, each week when a mom comes to me, I'm doing something called a Leopold's maneuver, where I'm putting my hands on a belly and feeling for where the head is, where the back is, where the bum is. And while that might actually seem like a very antiquated way of looking for baby's positioning, because now we have ultrasound, it's also something that in the home setting I can do anytime. It doesn't require any high-tech mm-hmm. Information. And most of the time my hands can provide that information. So should we be found where baby turns very late in the pregnancy or during labor, we have that opportunity to then transfer into the hospital and get that mom the care that she's needing.
Great. Mm-hmm.
And during labor, we're also able to monitor the safety of the mother and the child. We listen to heart tones frequently, as often as are recommended by the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, and the research supports monitoring to the health of the baby. We're also able to, you know, detect if there are things going that are moving into more risk factors at home, and so we're able mm-hmm. to facilitate a transport at that point, too.
Great. We're talking about midwifery and the role that it can play in a happy and healthy birth experience. Debbie Healy and Tamina Islam are practicing midwives here in Wisconsin. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Miller today. And just to let you know, coming up at 11:45, we'll talk about kids' self-esteem and the best ways to make sure that they have a positive image of themselves. But we'll also talk about whether it's possible to do too good a job of that. And we'll find out. We'll be talking with Katie Watermolen, who's done a lot of work on that. Let's go back to the phones, since we have several people waiting to talk with you two. Haley in Neillsville is next. Hi, Haley.
Hi. Hey, great show. I'm just so glad that this information is getting out there to people, because like several callers have said before, I just don't think it's in the mainstream media enough that there are these other options available to pregnant women. And it's never too late or too far to have the type of birth you want. I was one day overdue and had been going to our local hospital in Neillsville hoping they could kind of work with us on a natural birth. And they kind of got real nervous just even one day after the due date when I hadn't started to go into labor. And I got a lot of pressure, and I was feeling just very concerned that the hospital was not going to, you know, support the type of birth I wanted. And ended up just, you know, crying a lot during the last 2 weeks of my pregnancy and finding the Morningstar Birth Center over in Menominee, which was an hour and a half away from Neillsville. But they were willing to take us, got us in, and had absolutely no problems with labor and birth. And I just think that sometimes when people aren't in, we aren't in a urban area, we're very rural, and birth centers were far away, standalone birth centers with midwives. Mm. And so but when I got there, there were people coming from Rochester, Minnesota, people coming from the Twin Cities. I mean, these people were traveling, you know, to find the care that they wanted. And I just, every day, I just look back at my birth and say, I am so blessed. Because I would not have had that, you know, if I didn't know, you know, that information was out there. It's just great. I mean, there was no problems with the baby. Beautiful big baby. Got to the birth center and had him in, like, you know, 2.5 hours, and that was it. It was great. But, you know, for some reason, the hospital was just very nervous and really made me feel like I was being a bad parent before I even had the child, unfortunately, you know, just because mm-hmm. I chose to wait to do anything. So I just think that women really need to be educated. And I was surprised when I talked to a lot of people that are pregnant that, you know, I say, oh, you know, what are your plans for birth? And, you know, have you thought about what kind of birth? And they don't even, you know, kind of like, well, whatever the hospital wants to do, you know, whatever happens, happens, which you do have to have that attitude a little bit. But I'm really surprised that people don't really search out more information, you know, about what's out there. So maybe your guests could kind of talk about some good reading materials to prepare people, you know, who might be thinking about different options for pregnancy. I really liked Ina Mae Gaskin's Guide to Childbirth. That was just a great book that even when I was working through the hospital, it was, you know, I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm like, I can do this. Like, there's no problem, you know, with having a birth, you know, with a midwife.
Great. Well, let's ask Debbie and Tamina what kind of resources they would recommend. And thanks so much for that call, Haley. It's obviously, you know, you could hear the emotion in her voice because it is such a really important event in our lives. And to have the feeling that you can choose the type of birth experience that you would like, I think it is very empowering. Tamina, what kind of resources would you recommend to someone who's kind of, you know, trying to decide, maybe hasn't learned much about midwifery and is trying to decide if this is right for her?
Absolutely. So I think there are lots of things on the web these days to try to research about what setting is right for you and what type of care provider is right for you. Hallie brought up a great point that Ina Mae Gaskin is a longstanding midwife in our community and has practiced for a long time and just has written some really great resources, specifically Ina Mae's Guide to Childbirth. She also has one about breastfeeding. If you're not sure about whether you're choosing a hospital birth, freestanding birth center, or out-of-hospital birth or home birth, some great resources are Gentle Birth Choices is a really good one, The Thinking Woman's Guide to Childbirth. What do you think, Debbie, other resources that come to mind?
I really like the authors of Our Bodies Ourselves, who wrote a pregnancy book, and it has a lot of good information for women choosing how to cope with labor and birth and pregnancy in any setting.
And I know in preparing for this program that the Wisconsin Guild of Midwives has some really good basic information there, really nice kind of, you know, checklists of questions to ask yourself, questions to ask a potential midwife. So I think that's also a good spot to start. And we have a link to that on our Facebook page. It is WisconsinGuildOfMidwives.org, and Wisconsin is spelled out. So it's WisconsinGuildOfMidwives.org. A paramedic called in and confirmed his belief that the safest place is in the home for a birth to a large degree because mom and baby are in their same germ environment versus a hospital. So that's going back to a point that was made earlier. So thanks so much to that caller. And let's go next to Marcia in Madison. Hi, Marcia.
Hi. I am so delighted to be calling in. Debbie and Tamina actually attended my birth a little over a year ago. And it was just the most amazing experience. The reason I'm calling in is because I don't know if we've touched on water birth yet.
No.
But I really, really encourage women who aren't sure what they want to do with their birth. They maybe want to try no drugs, but are, you know, I myself am not so good with pain. And I did a little research, and I found the idea of water birth, and I investigated, and I found out that no local hospitals in the area actually offered that. You could get in the tub for labor as a sort of pain relief, and if you went to a freestanding birth center, they offered birth in the tub. But in order for me to do that outside of a birth center, which would have cost a little bit more money than I had on hand at the time, I had to do a home birth. And, like I was hearing a caller say earlier, I have friends right now who are pregnant, and I've asked them what their plans are for labor and birth, and it's just like there hasn't really been any thought. It's, you know, well, everybody goes to the hospital. We're going to go to the hospital. That's what we're going to do. I guess that's what we're going to do. And I just think it's so important when you're carrying a life inside of you to really consider any option that maybe you hadn't thought of before that would be best for the baby. And the water birth was the most gentle experience for my daughter. You know, the umbilical cord provided her with oxygen until she surfaced from the water. So it was, you know, very gentle, almost no crying. I was a little concerned that there might be something wrong with her at first. And I don't know, I'll let Debbie and Tamina take it from here.
Great. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Marcia. And, you know, it sounds like Marcia really kind of followed her gut of what was going to be the right birth for her. And we had not talked about water birth before. Mm-hmm. Maybe, Tamina, can you give a quick outline of what that entails?
Sure. So I think a lot of women are gravitating in freestanding birth centers and home birth for either laboring in the water or birthing in the water. And so that's a pretty common thing. It's a nice element to be able to provide that that gentleness and that ease in helping with the pain of labor. There has been a change in the last year that Marcia mentioned, which I think is growing in popularity, but Meritor Hospital has recently started to allow water births for women experiencing a normal pregnancy as well.
Great. And I want to make sure we get to Jess in Milwaukee because I think there's a little different perspective there. Hi, Jess.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Well, I'm the husband of a woman who we have six children together, and four of them were home births. I had to be convinced of it for our first child, and glad we went through the experience and the other experiences of the home birthing ritual, if you will. The two hospital births we were not so happy with. One was necessary, so we didn't complain. But the first time we went into the hospital. The hospital we went to was in South Florida, and I guess they were experimenting with my wife because they used something as an inducer called Cytotec, which was not FDA approved, and basically it caused my wife to push out at 6 centimeters, and she gave birth at 6 centimeters, causing a cephalhematoma on my son, a blood blister in the head, and he was in the hospital for several weeks after that while we were dealing with his emergency medical situation at that time.
And Jess, what was it? You said you needed to be convinced for the first home birth. What were your hesitations or concerns?
Well, it was the first time being a parent at the time and not knowing about midwifery or alternatives. It was, what do you mean? We're going to go to the hospital like everybody else. And then we had friends who were part of, the midwife movement, if you will, or, you know, opening doors to these things, a holistic approach to things. And they basically were saying, well, what's the episiotomy rate? What's the C-section rate of the state or the area that you're in? Do doctors try to rush you to get done in order so they can do whatever they want to do otherwise versus doing the natural process of the mother and the birth situation? So as I was looking into this and my wife was looking into this, it dawned on me, or, you know, I came around where there's a lot of procedures of interference, if you will, with the process of birth that they do because it's not working within a time frame of their comfort level. Well, and to me, that didn't sound right.
Well, thank you so much, Jess, for that perspective. And, you know, we didn't actually touch on if the woman who's giving birth has a partner. Are midwives able to kind of bring that partner into the process a little more than might happen in a more medical birth?
That's absolutely the midwife's model of care. We are not only caring for moms, but we're caring for the entire family. Very frequently in our visits, kids are incorporated into that care and are learning a lot about pregnancy and birth, which I think further goes to, and I'm hoping that this next generation, not everybody's going to say, oh, we just go to the hospital. Yeah, that's where we go.
That's a great point.
But that we have an opportunity to really start to put that veil of healthy on pregnant women again instead of it's being seen as a very scary and medical process that women need to go through.
Well, this has been a really interesting conversation and could certainly go on, but unfortunately we are out of time. But I want to thank Debbie Healy and Tamina Islam for joining us today. Debbie Healy is a certified nurse midwife in Madison. She serves as president of the Wisconsin Guild of Midwives. Debbie, thank you so much.
Thank you, Judith.
And Tamina Islam is a licensed midwife in Madison. She is secretary of the Wisconsin Guild of Midwives. Tamina, it was great to have you with us.
Thank you.
And you can visit the Wisconsin Guild of Midwives website. It's a real treasure trove of information for expectant parents, for potential midwives. If you're looking to find a midwife in your area, there's a whole listing there. And that website is wisconsinguildofmidwives.org, and Wisconsin is spelled out. And coming up next, we've been talking about bringing children into the world with the help of midwives. We're now going to take a look at how to help children develop a healthy self-esteem. It's a fascinating topic, and I hope you'll stay tuned right here to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.